And now, back to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show.
It's really fun, and yeah.
Here's Jennifer.
Well, that's good news.
Jen Fallweiler, so delighted to be with you here this afternoon. Today we are celebrating, quote unquote, so really using that term loosely there. Today we are, let's put it this way, we are acknowledging that I have been on Twitter for 10 years. This is a real day of reflection for me. I wrote my first tweet on October 15th, 2008. And I have not had the good sense to get off of this platform since then, despite the fact that it steals my joy and my peace every single day. But, you know, go ahead and follow me. I'm Jen Fallweiler. That's Jen with one N. So suffice it to say, I have done yeoman work on this platform. I have spent so much more time out of my life staring at the, you know, pressing on the blue little app button, typing in Twitter.com against my better judgment. I know a few things about Twitter. I am a Twitter OG. So when I say that someone is good to follow on Twitter, I know what I am talking about. Let all of these years wasted out of my life benefit you. So when I tell you that James Breakwell is one of the best people to follow on Twitter, I know that of which I speak. You can follow him, just search for James Breakwell, or you can search for his handle. It is Exploding Unicorn, and that's just with an X, not exploding spelled out. Exploding Unicorn. And I am very excited that he's got a new book out, finally. Finally. I've been waiting for this. And his whole message with this book and a lot of the funny things, he's a humorist, a lot of the funny things he says on Twitter is maybe we as parents would be happier and our kids would be happier if we could chill out, realize that we do not have as much control over our kids' destinies as we think we do. And like all of this stuff that's driving us crazy, driving our kids crazy is probably honestly like largely unnecessary. Very excited to finally have him here on the show. James, welcome to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so is that a fair summary of your message, not just with your brand new book, it's called Bare Minimum Parenting. Is that a fair summary of your message that, you know, like maybe we should just chill out and stop obsessing about this stuff?
Yeah, you pretty much summed up my entire life right there. I realize that's quite so simple. But I think we just end up worrying about all these things that don't really matter. One way or another, we all grow up and survive. I mean, we've been doing this forever, generation after generation. We survive before the internet, we'll survive after it. So I think there's a much greater margin for error there than we give ourselves credit for. And the way our kids turn out, I mean, it's really not all up to us. I mean, it's kind of the ultimate expression of narcissism to say, it's all up to me. I mean, they're right. Their own separate person.
Right. Yeah. And that has been my experience. So, James, my oldest is 14 now. So, you know, I've had some years watching other people whose kids are a little older grow up. And what I see over and over again is as long as the parents are trying, you know, checked in, they're not being overtly neglectful. They're kind of doing their best every day. Whether they have their kids in 50 different activities and on the perfect Ivy League track and all of that, or whether they just kind of, you know, do their best and not get too stressed out, I don't see it making that much of a difference in terms of how happy or successful their kids are, you know, 5-10 years after they leave the house. And you probably see that too, right?
Absolutely. That's kind of the whole premise of my book is once you get to adulthood, we all just kind of average out. You can't tell who had 50 soccer practices a week and who stayed home and who had a stay-at-home mom and yeah. Who went to daycare. We all just kind of end up mediocre. We are who we are. And if we're all going to get to that point anyway, what's the point of going to all these extra tutoring and all the extracurriculars, all of that stuff? Why not get there in an easier way, a more relaxed way? I think that's better for you and better for the kid, hopefully. And I think we've all seen cases. You can be the best parent in the world and end up with a horrible kid. And you can be the worst parent in the world and end up with a great kid. There's just so much out of our control. And I think that's a scary thing for parents to admit, but it's the truth.
Yeah, James, I want people to look up your brand new book, Bare Minimum Parenting, not just to buy it, but to see the cover. So the cover looks like it is a book called Superior Parenting, The Ultimate Guide to Raising Your Child. But then superior is crossed out and you've got bare minimum over it. The Ultimate Guide to Raising is crossed out. And then you have Not Quite Ruining. I mean, this kind of tells you everything that, that you need to know about this book going into it. As an author myself, I know that it can be a little bit of a journey to choose your book cover. Whose idea was this, yours or your publisher's?
It was a collaboration. So a lot of the ideas they were pitching early on, they're like, let's have a cover of a parent being lazy, like just kind of life hack type of thing, like a dad sitting there on a couch with a beer and a string out, pulling a child on a swing. And it's like, that's not really what this book is about. It's not about being a bad parent or being an inferior parent. This is a book about kind of validating the things you're already doing and saying, you don't need to keep up with the Joneses. You don't need to, you know, worry about overachieving like everybody else because you're doing great on your own. So then they came back and we went with this hijacked idea. My favorite part of the entire cover is the part where they have James Breakwell, PhD, and they crossed out PhD. I have no credentials whatsoever. I'm a comedy writer. This is based on common sense and humor. That's all the book is, but I love that part of it.
And James, this is what I love about your whole platform. Again, I want people to search for you on Twitter and on Instagram. Just search for James Breakwell. You'll come right up. People have to follow you. You really use humor to lighten people's burdens. And you know what I was thinking of? I was looking through your book right after I had a conversation with an older woman. Her children are now grown. And we were just sort of chatting generally about life and all that sort of thing. And she said, you know, my biggest regret as a parent is I just got myself so stressed out that, you know, my kids have to take three different music lessons and they must play three different sports, whether or not they want to, and they have to be president of the honor society and all of that. She said, I got myself so stressed out that I don't know how much I really enjoyed it. You know, I was just constantly keeping up with what other people at the school were doing, what the experts said I should do, following these five rules and those 10 best practices. And James, she was honestly getting kind of choked up saying, I don't know that I really enjoyed the time that my kids were in the house. And in order to enjoy it, to like chill out and have fun with your family, you do have to kind of buck the system a little bit and say, you know what, my kids aren't going to be in that one lesson. They're not going to play that one sport because I just want time to chill out and have fun. And that's so important, right?
Absolutely. I think one of the things I'm most grateful for that my parents did for me is they didn't go to every single game I had, every single sports match and all of those things. It teaches you a lesson. It's like, hey, you can go out and do these fun extracurricular activities if you enjoy them, but high school sports are not the center of the universe. You are not the center of the universe. You know, we're a family. We've all got things going on. We're all in this together, but at the same time, we're not going to go and worry about, you know, you achieving greatness at all these individual activities. It was kind of a much more laid back approach that really influenced how I'm doing it. But yeah, I see these overachieving parents who are so excited about getting these scholarships and getting these kids to achieve these high marks and do all these things, and they're just miserable. And I say in this book, I mean, if that's what you enjoy, if this is what you and your child enjoy, if you want to pursue academic excellence or be the best softball player or whatever, I mean, you could absolutely do that, but make sure it's something you actually do. Don't pursue that overachieving lifestyle because it's something you feel like you have to do, because it's absolutely not. You have the freedom to raise your kid the way that you want to, the way that makes you happy. And I think they're going to turn out just as well as everybody else's kid, as long as you know you don't worry yourself to death along the way.
I love it. And again, this is a humorous book that it makes great points, but people will laugh while they're thinking about these points. It's called Bare Minimum Parenting. And is it still pre-order or is it for sale?
It is pre-order. It comes out November 6th. Unless you're in the UK, it comes out November 1st there.
Nice. Okay, so November 6th is when it's coming out. I encourage people to pre-order too, because not only does that help you as an author, but it locks in whatever the lowest price is. You know, the price is always bouncing up and down. So when you pre-order, you're guaranteed to get the lowest price. So I really encourage people. I've seen a full copy of the book. It's fantastic. Bare Minimum Parenting. And yeah, James, I see people who are, you know, they're constantly trying to do what other people are doing. And I reached a point in my life that I was thinking of when I was reading your book that, you know, as I do a radio show, I speak, I write books, and I have six kids and we homeschool. So I have my hands full, suffice it to say. And I was feeling really stressed out because one of my daughters wanted to do something. There was an activity she was interested in. My stress level was really reaching a crescendo because I was having a hard time keeping up with it. And finally, I went to her and I just had an honest conversation. I said, I'm pretty busy right now with some deadlines. Could you take the initiative on this? Could you help me out and do the research, find out when the practice is, how much this costs? I even, at my husband's encouragement, I actually had her pick up the phone and call this administrator and ask questions. She was like 10 at the time, and she's picking up the phone and calling and getting these questions answered. And you know what, James? That actually filled her with so much confidence. She was so proud of herself. And then we ended up getting the activity done because she helped me get this in order. And but there's something about our culture that makes us almost hesitate to open up to our kids. And like your parents did, say, hey, we can't make it to this game. We have other things going on. We almost hesitate to have those moments with our kids. And I think it actually leads to a lack of intimacy and openness if we can't have honest conversations with our kids about our goals and what we have going on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we really lose sight of what we want and what our kids want. If you're going around on a traveling soccer team, driving your kid to it, you know, it's another part of the state every single weekend. I mean, a couple of years into that, you ever actually stop and ask yourself, is this what my kid wants? Is this what I want? Why are we even doing this? I think we get locked into a cycle where we do things just because we've been doing them for a long time. We're throwing, you know, rather than good money after bad, we're throwing, you know, good time after bad. And we just get locked into that. I think it's awesome what you did with your daughter because, you know, she took the initiative. She decided this is something she really wants to do, and she took ownership of it. And I think that's kind of the opposite of what we get into. It's like, well, I paid for your free throw camp, so guess what? You're playing basketball for the rest of your life. And I think that happens to a lot of kids, and you really have to watch out for it, because by the end of it, everybody's stressed out, and nobody's happy, and there's just an easier way. You say, maybe we're done with basketball. You're not going to be the next NBA star. Let's go find something you actually do enjoy, even if what you enjoy is just having free time, you know, being yourself.
I could not agree more. Again, the brand new book is called Bare Minimum Parenting. Pre-order it wherever you buy your books. And this is true of all books. When you pre-order, you get the lowest price locked in. I really recommend doing it. Pre-order Bare Minimum Parenting. It comes out just in a couple of weeks here. And one of the things you say, James, in this book that not a lot of other people say, but I just love because I say this all the time, there's never a perfect time to have a kid. So many of my friends are like, well, we have to wait till the stars are aligned, that Venus is in retrograde, and then we have to have this exact number in our savings account. And I look at in my family with my husband and I, our childbearing history, and half of our kids arrived at just the worst time. We had no money. We had 6 kids in 8 years, so you can imagine what those college bills are going to look like. We didn't think through any of this. And you know what? It's fine. It is totally fine. And isn't that interesting how people perceive that, like, there is some perfect time that might exist when it's just going to, like, work and be perfect to have a kid?
Yeah, that was one of the funnest chapters in my book to write. The idea that somehow there's going to be a time that makes it easier or better is just insane. And usually what people mean by, you know, the better time is they just wait. They wait longer and longer and longer and think later on it's going to be easier. And it's just not. You get older, you get tired. You know, it builds up on you. I can't even imagine starting a family at 40 or 45 like people do now. You've got the financial stability. But if it happens, people find a way to work. If you have a kid at 18, you find a way to make it work. If you have a kid at 50, you find a way to make it work. We always find a way to make it work. So you just have to, embrace the challenge. You have to have the confidence that, you know what, my ancestors made it work. My parents made it work. I'm going to make it work. Kids are harder to mess up than you think they are. And they don't really need you to wait until you get that next big promotion or the next big house or whatever. I think we all have a story about growing up in quarters that are, you know, a little bit too small. There's never quite enough money. All of that. I think that's everybody's childhood. And look at how we turned out. I mean, we look back with no regrets. And I think we're gonna offer the same things to our kids, the good and the bad. And that's what we call character building. That's the euphemism we use.
Yeah, you're right. Character building is a great euphemism for, like, yeah, we really dropped the ball. As parents are like, this wasn't perfect. We were broke. And what you say really bears out my experience. So I grew up sort of middle class and kind of those striving type neighborhoods where everyone sort of tried to pretend that they had more money than they actually did, you know, wearing designer clothes and things like that. Everyone had manicured yards and a, you know, yard of the month contest and things like that. So my husband was raised by a single mother. mother, grew up poor. His neighborhood was on the wrong side of the tracks. You know, the parents were checked out. And, you know, the parents in my husband's neighborhood did not check a lot of the right boxes, whereas the parents in my neighborhood checked like the perfect boxes. And what I see is that I just don't see a huge difference in the way the kids whose parents check the perfect boxes turned out versus the way kids from my husband's neighborhood turned out. If anything, like you said, kids from my husband's neighborhood got a little bit more of the character building. And that's freeing. You know, when we worry about things like, gosh, what if I lose my job? You know, what if we really had to cut back because we had hard financial times or we had to move or whatever? And you can just laugh and realize it'll be fine. It's character building, right?
Yeah, every time something goes wrong, just remember that's going to be part of your kid's heroic backstory. Look at what I overcame to get where I am now. Look at what my parents did to me. We always find a way to make it work. I know the happiest part of my childhood was when we were the poorest. My dad was a pig farmer, and he had me and my brother, and then he hurt his back and had to change careers and decided to go back to college. And he went into college with no money, with two kids, and he came out with four. I mean, you want to talk about being a poor college student with no money and four kids. But that was the best time ever. We lived in married student housing. Everybody around us had kids. There was a big circle of sidewalk. We ride our bikes around. There was a sandbox. There was always somebody to play with. I thought it was the greatest time in the world. And meanwhile, my parents were stressed out just trying to make ends meet. And I had no idea because I just thought this was Disneyland to me. So I think the way our children perceive the world is not always the way that we perceive the world. And sometimes the things that we worry about, while they're important, aren't necessarily the most important things. I think kids can find the joy in any kind of childhood you give them, as long as you're positive about it and you let the stress go a little bit.
Oh, James, I could not agree more. I want people to follow you on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, whatever their social media of choice is. Just search for your name, James Breakwell. You will come right up. Again, you're a humorist. It is really fun to follow you. I think I laugh out loud at least once a day, just from Twitter alone. And to your point, James, an interesting story is we took our kids to try out for a cooking reality show. It might have been Gordon Ramsay's. It was one of these things where, you know, kids, they cook and they try out. And my kids had been working really hard on their cooking. And so I thought, oh, maybe they have a chance. And then the producers were asking them a lot of questions about your story, about your life. And there were kids in front of them who were saying, you know, my parents are refugees and we had to escape our home country under the cover of darkness and people were shooting at us. And I just looked at my kids who have had like nothing go wrong in their lives. And I was like, yeah, you guys aren't getting on the show because you have no story. And I realize, you know, it's when we allow our kids to do some things for themselves and just take some risks. And you know what? Even fail, even have embarrassing, difficult things happen to them. That is when they develop a great story. And that's what I realized filling out those reality show applications is if you have a life that is quote unquote perfect on the surface and you never fail, you never have, you know, you never take risks that don't work out well, you don't have much of a story, do you?
Yeah, that's you definitely become a much more interesting person if you have to work a little bit, if you have to struggle. But it's very hard to see that in the moment. Something goes wrong and you think, oh my gosh, I've disadvantaged my kids. I'm the worst parent ever. When in reality, what you've given them is kind of an opportunity to see that, you know what, the world's not perfect. Everything's not going to always work out my way. But hey, I can still make the best of this. I can get through this. I was your book. I loved your book, by the way. But you made a point in there. One of the things that kept sticking with me was you said, you know, this is kind of the first generation where we've got all these kids and we're raising them. You know, you got to keep them inside with you all the time. You can't let them just go and roam and be out on their own. I was probably at the tail end of that roaming generation where I could just go and be set free. And now my kids, you know, they I would be you know, massacred on social media if I let my kids just roam the city.
Definitely.
It's totally different raising, and I do sometimes worry about that. Like they don't get to go out there and experience life in quite the same ways we did. Cause, I mean, how many things went right? How many things went wrong when you were just out there, kind of exploring the woods, exploring the town, doing all of those things? So I think it's one thing we need to get back to a little bit too, along with relaxing and giving our kids a little more leeway, just giving them more freedom to get out there on their own and make those mistakes so they can learn from them or not learn from them. Because I mean,
right.
One of the best parts of our life
or at
are
least
the mistakes
have a good
we
story.
Don't learn from.
That's exactly right. Again, the brand new book that people can pre-order now, and I really encourage them to do so, is called Bare Minimum Parenting. They can also follow you on any social media by just searching for James Breakwell. And that is actually a good segue to one of the big things I wanted to hit on that you talk about in Bare Minimum Parenting, is that we need to chill out about kids and screen use. And I make a big case for this. I didn't so much go into this in my book, but look, we live in this culture that simultaneously tells us that you cannot ever take your eyes off of your children for more than 2 seconds. Oh, and by the way, they shouldn't use screens ever either. And I want to say, I have a little something called a job. I cannot sit around and like stare at my children and be their entertainment director 24/7. So if our culture, you know, if we want to have a culture where people will call CPS on me if I let my kids roam the neighborhood, fine, but they're going to be staring at screens a fair amount of the time, yeah. Because I cannot be entertainment director 24/7. And you know what? I think it's going to be fine. And nobody else will say this, will they, James?
No, they won't. I had, there was one day, we were home on a Sunday, and my kids have been watching their tablets and playing video games all day, like morning to night.
Right.
Like, that's it. We're putting these away. You're going to play with each other. And 10 minutes later, it's like, you're going to watch TV again. Because it was so loud.
Right.
It was so much motion. They destroyed the house in 10 minutes. It was incredible. It's like, oh, that's where these screens come from. And you know what? Screens on their own, there's nothing bad about them. It's like saying, I'm going to ban you from using paper. It's just the medium. For half the time, you can't watch that movie. You can't play this video game, but here, read the book it's based on. Like, what's the difference? I mean, I use screens to create. I write books on it. I draw comics. I do everything. I'm sitting there, and I've been able to engage the world and get a message out there in a way that I never would have been able to if I had been born in the era before screens. I mean, I'm sitting there. If I'm stuck in the grocery aisle and I'm staring at my phone, I'm not ignoring my kids, or maybe I am ignoring my kids. I'm also writing a book just right there on my phone. I mean, screens are an incredible tool. And if you ban your kids from them, if you say, you know, these are universally bad. You can't use these. I mean, I think you're putting your kids at a huge disadvantage. This is something that's never going to go away from their lives, and that can be used very positively. And also, if your kids don't use screens, they're going to drive you insane. So just for everybody's sake, for yours and theirs, let them use screens.
That's exactly right. And James, I will say that the Fulweiler House is doing a 6-person experiment of what really are the detrimental effects of letting your kids watch too many screens. I always tell people who feel guilty about their kids' screen time, I promise you, the Fulweilers have more screen time than you do, whatever that amount is. And I will say, this is just my anecdotal observation. I am not seeing the ill effects that I am supposed to be seeing. The only thing I see is, I will say, they are not the most rugged children when it comes to outdoor activity. My 5-year-old was screaming and running away from a housefly that was buzzing around him outside. That might have something to do with it. But, you know, the things like having a short attention span, you know, all that sort of thing, I'm just not seeing all of these totally terrible things that I'm supposed to be seeing from my kids watching screens. And I think this is an example of, there are just a lot of experts out there who kind of trump up studies and get people all wound up because they want to have their studies written up. And I think we really need to look at a lot of this parenting advice with a healthy amount of skepticism.
Yeah, that goes back to why I'm so proud to have that PhD crossed out in the front of my book. I really don't think the experts know what they're talking about. I don't think there's any way to measure a kid, because you can't trace that line from, well, they watched an extra hour of TV here in 1998, and now we can see that they're homeless 10 years later. There's never a line. There's too much that goes on. So any expert that tells you anything about how your kid's going to turn out, they're just guessing. We just don't know. But what we can do is we can judge the practical effects day to day. Day to day, it keeps our kids entertained. I mean, I would say it does the opposite of give them a short attention span. My kids can be glued to those screens. You just kind of have to keep an eye on what kind of content they're watching. It, you know, I've come full circle. I remember my parents never understood the kind of cartoons I liked or the kind of video games I liked. I thought, I'm never going to be that parent. And now my kids watch things on YouTube that I just don't understand at all. They'll watch other kids play with toys or unboxing. Like,
yes,
you own this toy. Go play with it. But, oh, at least I don't have to clean up afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly right. And it's funny. I know that moment too, of like, you're just watching these two people like fight their little figurines. Like you said, you own those figurines. Why don't you go do that? And I'm like, I don't care. You know what? I'm going to get on Twitter. Like, let's all just stare at screens. James, it has been so good to talk to you. We are about out of time, but we would love to have you back again sometime. And tell us again the name of your great book, where people can get it, and where people can connect with you online.
Bare Minimum Parenting is the book. It's Bare Minimum Parenting, The Ultimate Guide to Not Quite Ruining Your Child. You can order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble if you're in Canada, Chapters or Indigo, all the usual sites. It comes out November 6th. And you can find me on Twitter at Exploding Unicorn without the E, or on Facebook, just search for James Breakwell. I'm on Instagram, too, search for James Breakwell. Basically, if there's a social media platform out there, I'm on it, and you'll probably want to get away with it from me, but that's okay. Let me wear out my welcome.
Like I said, in my 10 years today on Twitter, you are absolutely in my top five of people I absolutely love following. I just appreciate your humor. You lighten our burdens for those of us who are just out there in the grind day to day trying to get it done. So I really appreciate your work. I would love to chat with you again sometime. And in the meantime, keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to be here.
All right. Take care, James. And we will be back with more right after this here on the Jennifer Weiler Show.